All right, today is our last message in our Imago Dei, Image of God series. And that's what we've been exploring. A few breaks here and there for missionary things and such. What does it mean to be made in God's image? Why does that, how does that change who you are? And how does that change how you spend your time and money and everything, really? So in review, since it's been a while, of all the many aspects of being created in God's image, of being divine image bearers, here is the most important aspect. Humanity, you and me, were created, were designed to uniquely represent God's character and God's kingdom on this earth. So as theologian N.T. Wright expresses this, we are like angled mirrors, and so we reflect God's image and glory into the world, and then we reflect the worship of God from creation back to God. This is the primary reason you were created in the first place and then became a Holy Spirit indwelt son or daughter of God, with the image of God being fully restored in you over time, is to demonstrate to the world who God is and what God desires. Everything else you do in your life, your time, your money, your recreation, your calling, your career, it has to, if you are a devoted, passionate follower of Christ, align up with that central calling. To use modern slang, you exist to represent. This design and call to represent God to the world and the world to God is the heartbeat of evangelism and discipleship. In this present age and stage in between the first and second comings of Christ, you exist to participate in God's mission of reclaiming and restoring, redeeming all of this earth, all of this life forms, and most of humanity as God's kingdom. That's pretty exciting calling, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord Jesus, I pray that somehow in the face of whatever we're facing, in the face of looking in the mirror and seeing our own sin and our shame and our struggle and our doubt and our fears and just the hard things of just being a human being in this current age and relationships that are so strained and hard, in the face of all this junk, today may your Holy Spirit empower these passages in your word to remind us, to reclaim us, to restore and redeem us, to reconcile us back more fully into our primary callings in life. As we just sung, Here's My Heart, Lord. Take a moment, please, and pray that song. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. All right, so again, if you want to know who you are, why you exist, how you can live up to your full potential, how you can really make a difference in this world for good, our three Bible passages today are your counsel. Our first passage from Matthew reveals what is called Christ's Great Commission for every Christ follower. Our second passage from Acts demonstrate what it looks like in action to fulfill that Great Commission. And our third passage from Corinthians will give you a personal mission statement for you to connect your life to that Great Commission. All right, so when you're hired for a job, you get a job description, hopefully, and it gives details. This is what's expected of you, and this is how you will be evaluated, right? And so our first passage from Matthew is your job description. This is the job description of your life individually, but also for every congregation. So let's read Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, New Testament, first book, Matthew, last chapter, 28, 18 through 20. So Jesus has died, he's been resurrected, he's about to ascend into the other dimension that we call heaven, which is as near as your next breath. It's not geographically separated, but he gives this final departing orders to his disciples and thus to us. Then Jesus came to them, the apostles, and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Because of that, because of this all authority thing, you, sitting here this morning, go and make disciples of all nations. And here's how you do that. You baptize them in the name of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And even though he is physically departing, he'll send his Spirit. And so he promises, and surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. This is called the Great Commission. It's the church's marching orders. It's the central purpose of why God saves us and then keeps us on this earth, and why he calls us into a local faith community. Great Commission is Christ's command, his invitation for us to participate in what God is up to. This is what God's doing. He's on a task, he's on a mission, and he says, come and join me in the fun of being part of what I'm doing. And what is God's mission? It's to reconcile this earth, all its life forms, most of humanity, back under Christ's kingdom reign. Second Bible passage from Acts gives us a little glimpse of how the early church then immediately lived this out. So we have Christ's commission, and then immediately we have it being lived out because the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and now the apostles and early disciples are anointed. So, they're all speaking in tongues. People are hearing this crazy stuff going on. People being raised from the dead and healed, and he's got the attention of the people, and they're saying, what is going on? And so Peter stands up and says, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And then when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, Great Commission, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here's the global commission. For this promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Yeah. So, fulfilling the Great Commission, here's how the early church did it, individually and as a local congregation. To fulfill the Great Commission obviously must include outreach and evangelism in all its various forms and all its different degrees, where you're just planting a seed and you're closing a deal. A congregation and individually, we have to simply be engaged in outreach and evangelism to obey the Great Commission on our life. However, it's critical for you individually, every local congregation, to understand the difference between what is called church growth and outreach and evangelism, because they are two wildly different things. Even though in America they get smushed together and all confused and blah. So I've shared this before in one of the soul care services, but not everyone was there, and they aren't recorded, so it bears repeating. Church growth, so if you capitalize those letters, church growth is a model of ministry that has as its primary goal to attract new people to join your church. In modern America, numerical growth, new people joining a church, no longer primarily happens through new converts to Christ as it was in the early church. Indeed, only 1% of numerical growth in America is through conversion. That is tragic. 19% is through church hopping, and the other remaining 80% of churches are in decline. Instead, numerical church growth primarily happens in America. Here's what you do. You have professional worship, you have polished sermons, and you have fun programs for all ages, and you do so where there's population growth happening. Church growth as a ministry model defined as attracting new people to join your church in order to keep it going on indefinitely through programming and cool presentations is nowhere to be found in the Bible. This is why here at Grace Point, we rejected church growth, capital CG, as a model. Outreach and evangelism, however, is thoroughly biblical, and if you're not doing it personally as a church, you kind of have forfeited your primary reason for being alive. Outreach and evangelism and soul care relationships are the three primary purposes of a local church. So again, church growth is about growing numerically a local church to perpetuate that institution forever. Outreach and evangelism is about growing the global church of Christ and expanding and demonstrating Christ's kingdom. Church growth is about attracting people to sit in your pew and join you and pay more money and serve. Church and outreach and evangelism is about going into the community and to serve the wounded and the wandering and the weak and the lonely and the least. Ergo, therefore, thus, hence, for Grace Point to remain, because it already is, but to remain missional and healthy, it must reclaim a strong emphasis on outreach and evangelism. Can I get an amen? Our third Bible passage gives you a personal mission statement to participate in Christ's mission. 2 Corinthians 5. So you flip through your books, you got Matthew, and then you got the Gospels, you got Acts, and then you get to Corinthians eventually in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verses 18. And we're going to go through chapter 6, verse 2. So again, Apostle Paul here is explaining to us through the revealed word of God his calling and therefore our calling, because we're all in this together. Talking about the glory we have in Christ. He's talking about Moses going up on the mountain and getting the Ten Commandments, and he come back down and he glowed in the dark for a little while. And how that glory faded because there was that old covenant that's obsolete, we done away with. And now we're under this new covenant. The glory we have in Christ, it never fades. We just shine forever. And that's when he says, all this, all that amazing stuff shining forever and reflecting the new covenant is from God, who through Christ reconciled, that means call back, we were enemies and now we're friends, reconciled us to himself, and then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So God saves us to be an instrument of his salvation. That is, in Christ, Father God, what he's talking about, was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, their sin, their iniquity against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So here you go. This is why you take your next breath. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And this is what we do. This is what we do when we go out there in this world. We implore you, O unsaved one, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Here's the amazing good news. God, Christ, who knew no sin for our sake, he became sin, who knew no sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. Nobody in their right mind is going to resist or reject that gospel. Working together with Christ, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For God says, so this is the current age we're in, for God says, in the favorable time, that's what we're in the favorable time, God listened to you, I listened to you, and a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, what's the next word? Now, Not tomorrow. We don't know when the door of grace is going to be closed. Right now is the favorable time. Behold, now, today is the day of salvation. Again, there's an urgency to all this. And that's the word of God. How inconceivable, right? How magnificent, how just absolutely crazy on God's part for this to be his plan. God's plan for reconciling this planet, all its life forms, almost all humanity, depends on our participation. Would you have chosen that plan? You are, as our passage declares, an image bearer ambassador. Image bearer ambassador. And this is not because God needs us. Rather, God, in joy and in grace, chooses to invite us into partnership. He says, man, I'm up to something so amazing. I'm going to, you know, Adam and Eve, they kind of blew it. My people, Israel, they blew it. But man, I got this great plan. The world's going to be reconciled. Christ is going to come back. There's going to be a new earth kingdom. It's going to be amazing. Come join in on the fun. That's what it is. It's not a have to, it's a want to and can do. We are partners with the Trinity in fulfilling God's Missio Dei. We're using these Latin terms, Imago Dei, Missio Dei, mission of God, God's mission. Now you all, 13 and a half years into being your pastor, from day one, I mean day one, even as your student pastor, I introduced you to this term and this concept and this theology of being missional, right? And since then, you all, because of your commitment to Christ and your bold leaders and the many configurations of session through these years, have made radical changes. Man, if we listed them out, they are radical changes to become a missional church. Even the new model of ministry that your task force, after a year of really hard, good work, led you to embrace is called what? Missional Soul Care Community. Here's the difference, again, to remind you, between a missional church and a missionary church. A missionary church has local and global missions as core to its values and purpose and identity and budget. However, they see missionaries as specialized people who they then send and support. Missionary church. Most all healthy churches in America are missionary churches at the very least. Contrarily, a missional church embraces the biblical mandate that every member is a missionary. See the difference? Every follower of Christ is called into missions in whatever career, whatever school, whatever neighborhood, whatever family system God has placed you in any given season of life, you are the missionary. And every local congregation that embraces a missional model says we are a people in mission. We used to have this amazing sign pulling out of the driveway. You're now entering the mission field. I'm not sure why that got taken down. And if we can resurrect that or Joe can make a new one, I would encourage you to do that. It's a great reminder. So here's the thing. In every measurement that matters, Grace Point is and will continue to be for decades to come a healthy, vibrant, fruitful, missional congregation. Do you believe that? Good. So, to be missional, every member, every participant in a local congregation is a missionary participating in the mission of God. What is God's mission? Let's go over it again. God creates humanity. First, humans rebel, unleashes sin and shame into the world, and this is the infects all humanity and all creation at like the quantum level. This is why nothing works the way it's supposed to when you throw a wires into a box and you come back a second later and they're tangled. How does that happen? Because everything's cursed at the quantum level. And so Trinity creates humanity. They mess up royally. So they sat there and said, what do we do now? Is that what they did? Were they surprised? Well, of course not. But they decided, what do we do? We were going to create humanity. They're going to mess it up royally. What are we going to do when they do that? What's going to be our response? They have basically two choices. They could just say, that didn't work out so well. Smite, destroy, start over. Now, if they would have done that, you and I wouldn't be here, but also it would have said they kind of messed up. They made a mistake. Instead, because of God's character of grace and sovereignty and goodness, they just said, no, we're going to create humanity. They're going to fall. It's going to unleash 10,000 years or more of unbearable, horrific suffering, but we're sovereign and we're good, and so we're going to be able to use that for ultimate good, and we're going to be able to redeem every tear, and there's going to be justice for every person eventually, and we're going to be able to work with that. And meanwhile, we're going to come up with this plan that right from the very beginning, we're going to set into motion a way of restoration and redemption and restoration. That's a good God. And so God, in extravagant grace, right after Adam and Eve fell, he right away, Genesis 3 is the fall, Genesis 3:15 is the gospel. Someday, Eve, someday, looking ahead thousands of years, someday, this is breaking my heart, says the Father, but someday out of your womb, out of your seed, is going to come a seed, it's going to come a Savior who is going to crush the serpent's head. Glory. And then that's what all human history became centered upon. God orchestrating everything in human history to bring this Satan-crushing, sin-defeating, human race-restoring, deliverer and hero, Messiah and Savior into the world. And you just can't understand human history or your own personal history unless you see it in the context of this larger story of what our missionary God is up to in reclaiming humanity and restoring creation. All of human history, every rise and fall of every nation, every war and every defeat and every victory, every world ruler and every power, every major event, good and bad, all centers on what God is doing to reclaim this earth as God's kingdom. You don't have to have fear. You don't have to be overwhelmed with anxiety and worry about the news. God is sovereign over the news. He's at work reclaiming this world through you and me as God's church. So how do we apply all this? A guy named Peter Drucker, who passed on, but he was a giant in the field of business. I mean, you could not be in business and not have read his work, Peter Drucker. He says, every organization, church and business, must continually ask itself these two questions. What business are we in? And, anybody know? How's business? So, what business is Grace Point in? What business is your life in? I think you know the answer because I just spent 20 minutes telling you. To do what? Participate in God's mission. And so, the question then is, how's business? To be a divine image bearer in this current age prior to Christ's return is to demonstrate to every person you meet, be a clerk or neighbor or family member, the character of God and to attract as many people as possible to Christ. We are image bearer ambassadors. Back to our Great Commission passage, gives us four things. We'll go through these rather quickly. We've done these before a couple times over the years, so it's review for many. Four requirements of living Great Commission lies. Number one, living as image bearer ambassadors requires the power and authority of Jesus Christ, right? Christ began the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and earth was given to me, and now I send you in that authority. So when a president sends an ambassador on a peace mission, that ambassador carries with him or her the full necessary authority and power to make whatever deals need to be made. When a general sends a squad into battle, he better make sure that those troops have all the weapons and the power and authority they need for victory. Christ has sent us on the most important peace mission ever with the eternal souls of human beings at stake. And we can do this. We will be victorious because we operate in the power and authority of Jesus Christ himself, in whom is all authority. Number two, living as image bearer ambassadors requires us to making disciples of Christ, not decisions for Christ. Go and make disciples. Go and make wholehearted, passionate, sold-out followers of Jesus Christ, not lead people to say the sinner's prayer and then live any old American lifestyle of hedonism they want to. Making disciples is far more costlier of your time and money. It is inconvenient to be a disciple maker. Making disciples requires inviting someone into your daily life to show him what it looks like to live as a follower of Christ. It doesn't happen through a program. It doesn't happen through sitting in the pew. It doesn't happen through a grace path class or a precepts class. It doesn't happen through a worship service. It doesn't happen through outreach events. It doesn't happen through an occasional meal or coffee. Making disciples requires a long-term commitment to enter into a soul care relationship with one or two people and to enter the mess and the mystery and the struggle and the shame and the sin of their life. Number three, being an image bearer ambassador requires bringing people into soul care relationships. Christ says, baptize them in the name of the Trinity. Baptize, bring them into active Trinitarian relationships with the Trinity and one another. We call this soul care. Being in a soul care relationship is the very essence of living out the kingdom of God, of living out the Great Commission. Soul care relationships are not a side thing on the plans of God. Soul care community is not an optional part of being a follower or a local congregation. Soul care community is the Great Commission. Remember Pastor Heibel's walk across the room? His model of making disciples, he called the three D's. This is soul care. Develop a friendship, discover the person's life story, discern appropriate next steps. Develop a friendship. Just pick a person, one person. Discover that person's life story. And then as you do that, discern next steps. Walk within the Spirit. Number four, living as image bearer ambassadors requires daily saturation in Christ's word. Right? John 15, abide in me. If you don't abide in me, you can't do anything. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. I'm with you till the end of the age. So we can't do this. We can't make disciples. We can't fulfill the Great Commission individually or a congregation unless we're saturated in the Word of God. And so I ask you for the 10,000th time, what are you doing to structure your daily life to be saturated in God's Word? What are you doing? If you don't have a plan, really good day to make a plan. Christ, through his life, cross, and resurrection, and sending the Holy Spirit, has unleashed all the power of God's kingdom into this present age. Do you believe that? And there is no power. There is no power in hell. There's no power on earth that can stop King Jesus from taking over this world. Right? All the forces of all the armies joined together in one grand army. They could not defeat King Jesus. because he is the God of the angel armies. He's the God of hosts. Pretty sure the angelic army could defeat all of the world's armies. Christ proclaimed in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When he said the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, he was not talking about denominations and local congregations, housing buildings. That is not the church. The church is all of the people of God, whether they go to church or not, global congregation from the conversion of Abel all the way to the last baby born that's in Christ. And that cannot be defeated. So even in the United States, where now it's down to only 22% of people go to church regularly, and most people define regularly as maybe one or two times a month. That's the state of our church of America. But even with those horrible, sad statistics, there's actually an increase on the number of people who claim to be a born-again, devoted follower of Christ. So you have this decline in going to church and an increase in people claiming to follow Christ. They're just not choosing to live it out in this. Christ's kingdom is on the move. Every day, some 10,000 Chinese are converted to Christianity. Each year, some 6 million Africans convert to Christianity. In India, as we sit here today, some 5,000 will be converted to Christianity. Every year in Latin America, the church grows by as much as 3.5 million. Glory! God's kingdom is on the move, and we get to be part of that. So structure your life around that. Structure your life to be part of partnership with the Trinity. And there you'll find your potential, your joy, and your purpose. Let us pray. Holy Father, we ask that you would capture our imagination with this invitation to partnership. Lord, that you would convict us of any ways that we are wasting time, wasting money, wasting resources, and too much recreation, and too much hobbies, and too much materialism, and convict us. Convict us to give more time, more money, more effort, more energy into partnering with you in this mission, wherever you have strategically placed us right now, in our family systems, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our jobs. We are your image bearer, ambassadors. Please take a moment to pray in response to God's word and further projected prayer requests.